Alrighty. Well, actually, I've got some weights over here. How are you going, Joe? You're trying to access the computer. Can you? Thank you. I'm so pleased I married an IT man. Actually, just before the service, oh, well, just about 5 minutes ago, my computer came up with a systems update. And I'm like, oh, got to quickly fix that one. But actually, if I can get just Steve and Isaac back for a second.
No dancing.
Radio. So, as you know, I'm a bit of a runner, and I also do strength once a week as well. And one of the exercises Ray actually did this week was actually to do circles. Okay. So, guys, arms up, and it's going to be 2 minutes of circles.
Up you go.
It's all about control. It's all about control.
Little ones, guys. Little ones. Little ones, guys. Little and fast. That's only 40 seconds, guys. Come on.
Are you serious?
It's all about old war injuries.
Okay. All right.
No.
So, six. Five. Okay, radio. Well, that was only actually a minute, guys. So considering I actually have to do about 3 minutes. That's right, name and shame. All right. So thanks, Steve and Isaac. So I bet during those that little session of 1 minute, 1 minute, I bet they're actually looking for a bit of comfort, hey? And that's my message tonight. It's Isaiah, comfort for the uncomfortable zone. So we've actually, within Just Church, we've been reading about Isaiah, haven't we? You've all been reading your readings, okay? Yeah, great, excellent. So Joe, thanks for offering the PowerPoint. So we're just going to start off with, I always like to find out a little bit more about the author of the book that we're actually exploring. So stay with us. We're just going to give a little bit of an outline in regards to that. And, you know, Isaiah was a prophet. And you ask, well, what's a prophet? Well, it's actually one who hears from God and he speaks into the culture of the day. And Isaiah, you know, he actually foretold about the coming of a saviour 700 years before it actually happened. So if we were to put it in real terms today, it would be someone like Maddie over here foretelling of the most significant historical event in 2717, okay? The book of Isaiah exposes the incredible details about the future reign of Jesus and Emmanuel with us. A little bit more about Isaiah can be found in Matthew Henry's commentary. You know, Isaiah, he lived in Jerusalem. He was a court preacher or a chaplain to King Uzziah. Now, part of your homework tonight is actually, after church, is to go home and actually look at the Bible Project. And you can find some great YouTube clips in regards to historical timelines and how it all fits into the narrative of the Bible. So that's your homework tonight, okay? Because we don't actually have time to go into all of those details about the exile. So but also, Isaiah was actually renowned of all the Old Testament prophets for his visions, for them not being restricted to his own country and times. So he's the kind of guy that spoke into all nations for all times. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isaiah was a powerful man of intellect, great integrity, and a remarkable force of character. And he was also a married man with two sons. According to the most biblical scholars, Isaiah didn't actually write the whole book of Isaiah. Did you know that? Because part of the book was actually written after his death, okay? After the exile. So Isaiah basically wrote a stack of messages and he passed them down to his followers or disciples. And this was later recorded in 600 BC, 150 years later. Now my computer isn't moving down. Hang on. Oh, now it is. You know, some of us ladies in Just Church have been started to read a book called Victory Over Darkness by Dr. Neil Anderson. And in the first chapter, it actually refers to how Adam and Eve lost their perception on reality because they came out of a relationship with God. And the Hebrew reference to knowledge was actually having a personal relationship with God. You know, Isaiah was a man of great knowledge because he was in relationship with God. Thanks, Joe. So when we look at the book of Isaiah, we're looking in two different sections. So we're looking at the chapters 1 to 39, which is the first half, and then we're looking at chapters 40 to 66, which we've been reading about in the reading plan. And God's discipline is featured in this chapter 1 to 39. The first half is about God's judgment on his people for making half commitments to him. And you know, God's pretty ropeable. And they're experiencing an intense period of discipline and judgment. And who remembers Ezra referring to this last week about God's discipline? Well, I can actually remember. I'm going to tell you a story right now. Well, I can still remember the day. I hope this has not been recorded. Okay, that's good. It's not been recorded. That I spent half a day in the garage of my parents' home in a cupboard hiding, knowing that I was about to receive the biggest hiding in my life. Now, my dad found me in the cupboard hiding and took me to his room, and he had his hands, and in his hands he had this really thick, like really thick, you remember the old day kind of garden hoses? They were thick, okay? And, well, I got the hiding of a lifetime. And, you know, classic statement after those kind of, smacks was, I'm only doing this because I love you. Okay, who remembers those kind of statements? Yes, okay, all right. Or a better way of actually putting it is that you're actually messing with your potential and you're straying from the course. Now, I can't actually remember, to tell you the honest truth, I can't actually remember why I was actually getting the smack, but I still recall the memory of it to this day, and I can still feel the pain of it, to be honest. So it must have been something pretty major in my life, hey? And I'm sure that was the same for Israel and Judah. They would have had a strong recall of God's discipline in those chapters from 1 to 39, hey? Okay, so thanks, Joe. Chapters 40 to 66 is a bit of a different intersection. So we're looking at God's hope. And in the second half of the book of Isaiah, this can be framed around God's hope, Israel's restoration from exile in Babylon, and also there's still quite a few references to their disobedience. So that memory of their lack of obedience to God is still coming through those chapters. So I just really want to paint the picture of what God's hope actually is. And, you know, God's hope, it's defined as that feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It's the zone between the start of a desire and the thing actually happening. Who's had hopes for a lot of things? Yep. Me too. And it's kind of like the talk or the rebuke after you get the smack. It's actually life in the middle. And tonight I'm actually defining these chapters in Isaiah from 40 to 66 is life in the middle. Moreover, it's the uncomfortable zone. You know, the uncomfortable zone, like how does that correlate here with Just Church and what we're on about? Okay, a lot of it we can actually correlate with Isaiah 40 to 66. You know, with Just Church at the moment, we're actually life in the middle. It's a bit like Israel in chapters 40 to 66. And the themes of the chapters of 40 to 66 are clear and can be cross-referenced with well-known scriptures. God is boss. And we've already heard it mentioned tonight. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The other theme is he's chosen us. He has a purpose for us to fulfill. And we all know the scripture verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And you know, Just Church was birthed out of the desire to see plans come into full fruition. It was birthed out of the desire to see the regular Aussies come to know Jesus. And Steve, our research guru and leader, painted a vision via a research paper to fulfill, to see this, basically this desire and vision to see regular Aussies coming to know Jesus. And it was also a fulfillment of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, part of that paper outlined what was actually happening here in Australia in terms of Christianity. And one statistic that has never left me, and that's why I'm passionate about being in Just Church and about seeing this fulfillment of, I suppose, what we have witnessed is really this whole statistic around Australians, that 66% of Australians nominate Christianity as their preferred religion. But then 65% of this 66 are aged between the ages of 60 and 90 years of age. So that's really what we're saying. The mature generation is actually a large percentage of Australians actually saying, yes, Christianity is our preferred religion. You know, that's the uncomfortable zone that we're actually living in this culture. The uncomfortable zone, Christians represent a small remnant in our society today here in Australia. Our everyday practices and patterns in Aussie culture do not reflect devoted lives to Jesus. You know, Christianity has been watered down by political correctness, and the very fabric of our constitution and principles are being contested every day. You know, and even in our hope of wanting to see this fruition of regular Aussies coming to know Jesus, you know, you come up with day-to-day challenges, don't you? Okay? So, you know, sometimes people may not show up for life group, or there's sickness, or there's something more serious like the news of cancer, or there's finances, or there's tax bills, or there's losing a contract that you've put a lot of effort into. And maybe it's a relationship that hasn't gone the way that you have planned it. You know, maybe it's been a witness in your workplace and feeling like a fool for what you believe in. You know, pressures around uni. I get that now. Okay, or plans not going the way you thought it may have. Who's ever had a plan that didn't quite come off? Anybody? Yep. Okay, let me give you a few examples. You know, sometimes God opens the door for us, but sometimes that door is actually quite uncomfortable and you feel like a little bit of a fool. And, you know, in workplaces, they're expecting way more of us these days. And then again, working with people of different value systems. You know, what's the boss saying in all of this? What's he up to? What's he trying to communicate to us? What's his plan in all of this? It's uncomfortable. You know, sometimes I want to run because it's so uncomfortable and I seem like a fool. You know, but Joe reminded me, it's for your own growth, Liz. Isaac rebuked me, telling me that I must obey, serve and love them because it's in the Bible. But hey, it's in the uncomfortable zone that the weird things happen. And recently, Maddie and I got to pray and speak a message of hope over a bunch of Year 10 girls at my workplace with a stack of people who have different value systems to what I believe in. You know, my prayer is, and basically, I suppose I'm testing the Lord in this, and I'm asking him, can the light shine without walls? You know, or another plan, another example of something not actually coming off. Thanks, Joe. All right, here we go. So, Joe and I are 36 years of age. Okay, we look so young, don't we? With three kids. And guess what? We're back with the parents-in-law, effectively couch surfing. Because back in November 2016, we felt that we needed to put our home on the market to ensure that we got the best return for our investment. You know, we had months of open houses. And then we had this scripture verse pop up one day from Just Church Readings. Psalms 107, and in the nick of time, and then we put in brackets, God sold our home, and that would be, and then following that little verse, it said, and that he would put our feet on a wonderful road and take us straight to a good place to live. Well, I have to tell you, during that time, I was on a bit of a high, actually, because the word of God was actually being fulfilled, and we'd found our home on a wonderful road. But guess what? We actually had to walk away from it as it had a few nasties. And you know what? I actually felt quite foolish because I felt like I had the word of the Lord for our next move. But we had to walk away. And now we're life in the middle, the uncomfortable zone, couch surfing and packed to the rafters. And how are we meant to do Just Church without a home? Come on, God. You know, how did we go from selling our house in the nick of time, to seeing this house on a wonderful road and then back at the parents-in-law, couch surfing? Now, that's where, you know, that's, I mean, this is revealing a lot about me today, okay? I really, for those of you that know me, I like to have order, my own space, I like things looking good, and now it's completely messy. Okay, so, you know, so Joe and I are living in there, like, well, with all of our clothes in the same room, okay, trying to study, trying to, you know, sermons, you know, kids, yeah, ironing everywhere, like, it's messy, okay? But what's the boss trying to say to us in all of this? Where do we turn and how do we respond in the uncomfortable zone? Where do we find comfort in the uncomfortable zone? The key themes of Isaiah from chapters 40 to 66. I'm just going to read some of these powerful themes. And we've been reading about them this week. God is sovereign. God is boss. He has not abandoned the world to anarchy and chaos. Number two, God is only, no other God. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me, Isaiah 43, verse 10. Who has done this and carried it through, calling for the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he, Isaiah 48, verse 12. It is the confident prediction that one day other nations will also acknowledge that there is no other God, Isaiah 45, verse 14. Number three. Other themes. The foolishness of idolatry, our work. You know, even the work of our hands can be idols. Idols are nothing, empty wind, and the one who sets his heart on them sets his heart on nothing. Isaiah 41, verses 28 to 29. Number four. God is creator. He's created everything. He's created you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 40, verse 28. God is universal. God of all people and of all nations. He is a God for all seasons and for all mankind. God is Redeemer, the God who transforms. You know, the word Redeemer is actually used 13 times in the book of Isaiah. You know, God is in the business of transforming us corporately as well as individually, going from the worm identity to the powerful threshing sledge. He's in the business of giving you and all of us a full makeover. You know, God is holy. He is without blemish. The word holy is used 13 times to describe God in these passages. And elsewhere in the Old Testament, it is only used 6 other times. Boom, God is holy. And God is helper. God helps you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 2. You know, all of these themes are the non-negotiables that Isaiah was declaring. And my question tonight, in the uncomfortable zone, wherever you are, what is the non-negotiable or truth that you're struggling with? And I just want you to get your phones out. So if you've got a phone or a Samsung. Okay. And open up like your notes section. Okay, create a new note, and we've been doing a lot of reflecting tonight, hey, as a church, and I just want you to spend, I suppose, another minute reflecting. What's that non-negotiable or truth that you're actually struggling with out of the list? So, thanks, Joe. If you can go to the next slide. Okay, so, yeah, we're just going to spend a minute. So there's a list of, I suppose, the non-negotiables that Isaiah is declaring. And I want you to think about, reflect upon, and confess, what's the truth that you're struggling with tonight? Thank you, Jesus. If after the message tonight you'd like some prayer, I'm actually going to ask Rachel and Kendo, I think Mel's with the kids, or Maddie, after the message tonight, if you want some prayer into that non-negotiable, the truth that you're struggling with, I invite you to come and get some prayer, hey. You know, Steve's been developing some non-negotiables for Just Church of late. I believe for us here tonight that God is establishing a people who will not stray from the non-negotiables, because he has called us by name, and so many references in Isaiah from chapters 40 to 66. He's actually calling us by name. You know, the truth is that God doesn't want us to miss out on his plans. And that's why he disciplines us. And that's why he gives us his hope for the desire for something to be made a reality. One of my favourite scriptures at the moment. It's about living a life with non-negotiables. And it's from Jeremiah 12:5. And basically what it's articulating, it's saying, you know, God wants to empower us to gallop alongside the horses and not merely accomplish what only man can achieve. So check it out, Jeremiah 12 verse 5. He wants us to be the kind of people that are galloping along the horses. What a cool vision, hey? You know, Isaiah, he passed down his message in a bottle, okay? He passed down all these messages to his disciples, to his their disciples again, and their disciples, and then it was recorded in Isaiah. You know, and if tonight was my final message, I would really like to pass on this message from the words of Isaiah. So if you actually just want to look up at the screen, that's right. Okay, so here it is, final message. Isaiah 49 verse 6, it says, "What an honour for me in God's eyes that God should be my strength." He says, "But that's not a big enough job for my servant, just to recover the tribes of Jacob and merrily round up the strays of Israel," meaning rounding up the Christian people. This is what Isaiah is declaring. He said, "I'm setting you up as a light for the nations so that my salvation becomes global." As individuals and as family here in Just Church, guess what? We're being set up as a light to the nations, to those that don't know him, so that his salvation will be made global. Comfort in the uncomfortable zone. Thanks, guys.
That's terrific, Liz. Thank you so much. And we might leave that last slide up of the things for reflection, because if you do want prayer on those things, that'd be great. So about to have dinner. I think it's cooked. Is it, Nicole? I don't know. Should be. I can smell it. Can everyone smell it? Yeah. That smells awesome. Where's that slide? It's up there. Yeah, we'd love to pray with any of you. If you like about that. So thank you so much, Liz. Hey, just remember, baptism next week. At least one brave soul. 2 weeks. Yeah, not next week.